like that. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. Mailman Chris emails to say, hey, thanks, Rick and Tim. The grotto is just down 82nd from my route. If I don't come in today at 3, you'll know exactly where that is.
Madman with a gun just a moment.
I'm sorry?
Oh, okay.
We have an update.
Let's see here. Snakes on a plane emails. Rick, the only thing that would have made it better is Bruce Campbell as the pilot. You just know that he was supposed to star in this when it was conceived about 10 years ago. How great would that have been? Really? Is that true? Apparently he was. Oh, how great would that have been? Let's see. Rick, things about Michael Bay and so forth, blah, blah, blah. Rick, what the hell, and this is spelled out phonetically, what the hell does Uba Shibia mean? What the hell is Uba Shibaya? I miss a couple of days and now I'm completely frigging lost. Please to update your encyclopedia and tell us what the hell is going on with your radio show. It's funny, actually, that you mentioned that because this is fortuitous because I was talking to Joni DeRoshi, who does the website last night, and we had this whole section. It's called the Encyclopedia Emersonia, which is just sort of, this is the guide to all the stuff we do in the show, and it hasn't been updated in like 6 months. But she's working on it now, because I have no web skills of any kind at all. I got nothing. The only thing I can really do is update my weblog, but she is actually changing the encyclopedia thing so I can update it myself from whenever, because I really, and then we're going to have a whole day, not today, but sometime like next week, we're going to pick like an hour where we go through all of that stuff, just all of these things that have popped up that we need to explain to people.
Uba Shibaya.
That don't make any sense if you have no idea, like if you haven't heard it. Let's read this email. It says, Rick, it says, let's talk about being in a totally different theater. I'm sure experiences were the same, yet different. As soon as the screen went black, everyone started to hiss. That totally happened with us last night. It was a lot that. This is so creepy. This is from Chris. This is from the Boba Fett guy who saw this at Lloyd Center, a different theater. And all of these same things happened at our theater. He said, as soon as the screen went black, everybody started to hiss. Same thing with us. How many Red Bull plugs could they have done in the first 10 minutes?
Yep.
We were totally doing that. We were shouting out all of the... There was so much product placement. There was Red Bull. There was Lucent Technologies when the guy was on the phone and they had the big close-up of the Lucent logo. There was Purell hand crap,
mm-hmm.
Whatever that was. There was Mountain Dew. Let's see. One fan shouted out when the main actor got water from the stewardess. He doesn't want water. He wants a Red Bull. We were doing that. Let's see. When the two potheads in the bathroom were joining the Mile High Club, I heard someone yell out, I don't even know if I should say that.
Do it.
Sarah? I'm gonna
Oh.
I don't even know.
I don't think you can say that. That happened to the woman in the chair, though. Not the girl in the bathroom.
I don't even know if I want to mention this. Well, anyway.
Yeah, let's move past that.
At the end, when Sam Jackson is telling the stewardess about going to dinner, people began yelling about black mamba snakes. Woot.
That didn't happen.
Black mamba. That's a snake from a place. Where's it from? Where's the black mamba from?
Mambia.
Okay, thank you.
Making that up.
It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
Out the bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the Ministry of Truth. Tim Riley reporting. Update on the mad, drug-crazed gentleman with a gun. Police have closed down portions of streets near the Grotto after responding to reports there is a man running around with a gun with mental problems. He's been up for days and high as a kite.
Sorry, I was just drinking a little coffee there.
Meanwhile, in California, a woman is suing JCPenney after an alleged run-in with an in-store mannequin, which she says left her with a cracked tooth, a bloodied head, and recurring shoulder pain.
A bloodied head?
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
Well, the 51-year-old woman, Diane Newton, says she was cracked in the head by a legless dummy at the Westminster Store Mall. She said it happened a year ago when she was shopping for a blouse and found the only one to fit her was on the mannequin. The sales clerk removed the garment when the dummy's arm flew off and struck Newton's head. Paramedics treated her bleeding scalp at the scene, but it wasn't good enough. She was rushed to the hospital later in the day.
I read a story the other day contained the phrase bleeding eyes.
Oh, no. I saw someone beaten up who was bleeding from the eyes once.
Really?
Yeah, it was on the corner of 39th and Hawthorne at that Mexican restaurant.
Well, you know. I don't even know what's in your eyes to bleed.
The sockets?
No, I know where the blood comes from.
I'll head up to 39th and Hawthorne tonight. You may see it again.
It's just
your blood vessels pop, by
juice
that, and then
goo in there.
Juicing.
Okay, here's Tim Riley.
That's what you get for hanging around with these trendy people.
Okay.
A group of Indian television journalists allegedly gave a man matches and diesel fuel to help him commit suicide in order to get dramatic footage, which was later broadcast. The man died of severe burns to his body in a hospital in the Gaya town of the eastern state of Blur on August 15th, which is India's Independence Day. Footage of the man screaming and writhing in pain as he ran with his back on fire was aired on several television channels.
What does it say about us that we're all just laughing at that?
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do?
Goodness gracious.
Time now for Paul McCartney's one-legged soon-to-be ex-wife watch.
Here's your Paul McCartney's one-legged soon-to-be ex-wife watch.
Lean on me when you're and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on.
Let me hit the post right here. Heather Mills is filming the breakup of her marriage to Sir Paul McCartney. Sources close to the Beatle fear the former model is making video diaries to get public sympathy and portray herself as the victim. Members of Miss
Mills'
entourage...
If you have one leg and you can't get any sympathy as it is, the cause is lost.
And you're not the Beatle part of the marriage.
Well, she's been seen carrying handheld cameras and has been seen on numerous occasions with him. Her spokesman today confirmed she and her friends are using cameras, but only to collect evidence against paparazzi.
She started cutting off an ear. That might help.
She told the Evening Standard, "We are worried a video diary would maximize publicity while trying to gain her maximum sympathy." With the separation expected to be the most sensational celebrity divorce to hit the headlines in a decade, which was announced earlier this year, the McCartneys promised to make it amicable, but not for the sake of their 2-year-old daughter, Beatrice. But Miss Mills, who's 38, is understood to have rejected Sir Paul's offer for £30 million for a quickie divorce. She recently took on Anthony Julius, who secured Princess Diana's divorce settlement as her divorce lawyer after the ex-Beatle appointed Fiona Shackleton, who represented Prince Charles. Sir Paul, who's 64, then appeared to catch his wife off guard quickly, launching his petition for divorce
balance
in London in an attempt to head off action in America.
Come on, I gotta make those one-legged jokes while there's time. It's like the snakes on a plane jokes. Eventually she's gonna vanish and I won't be able to do that. And Sarah pointed out there's something which is really true, which is this does sound like a Scotty J mix of this watch, because this watch theme is like an hour long. Mm. All right, there you go. Paul McCartney's one-legged soon-to-be ex-wife watch.
Wasn't this pre-Scotty J?
And now we're done. Here's Tim Riley at the city desk.
And quickly, something for the children.
Oh, wait. Scotty made it. I think he has created a for the children a sounder. Wait, hold on. Let me find this here. This is for the children, indeed.
A birthday party went horribly wrong yesterday when a goat at the Winnipeg Zoo was killed by its herd in front of the birthday girl. Terry Geiger and a boyfriend had taken Geiger's daughter Angie and a friend to the zoo for the 6-year-old's birthday when two alpine ibex goats started fighting in the enclosure in front of them. At first it was entertaining. It was like watching the Discovery Channel. But it quickly got worse and worse. Well, Angie told her mom it was the worst day of her life as zookeepers finally hauled the mauled animal away in a wheelbarrow.
Happy birthday.
Zoo officials could not immediately confirm the animal's health. Although we're guessing it's not doing very well. Zoo director Bob Rickley seemed shocked to hear of the incident and denied there were any new animals at the zoo. This is very upsetting, he said, being told. We haven't introduced new animals in a while.
Ah, there you go. All right, there you go. For the children. Fantastic. Happy birthday. Do we have a watch? Do we have the Britney?
Let's do the Britney.
All right, well, let me find
this. This means no push-ups for you today.
No, that's what I'm talking about. We've got the two over here. We'll do this, and then we'll welcome Clyde Lewis and Aaron Duran. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a Britney watch.
I think I did it again.
New York.
Genius.
Britney Spears expecting baby number two, says she and husband Kevin Federline didn't plan the pregnancy.
Oh, surprise,
it just
kind
of happened.
Oh.
The 24-year-old singer reveals in an interview in the latest issue of People magazine on newsstands today. She adds laughingly, I'm going to wait a while for the next one. At 8 months pregnant, Spears is mom to 11-month-old Sean Preston, the couple's first
11?
Child.
That other kid's not even a year old already?
No.
Oh, that thing. Mm-hmm. Boy, that's like a bad tennis racket right now.
So they're going to be exactly a year apart.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, that's freaky.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough sending them to college both at the same time. It feels like I've been pregnant for 10 years. Spears, who has gained 40 pounds during your pregnancy.
What is he just waiting in the delivery room to impregnate her again?
Yes.
Was that it? It's like while her feet are in the stirrups, he's like, hold on, let me just give me a second here. I can just make this an all. Seriously. When would there. No, look. When would there even be. Let me understand this now. The other kid is 11 months. Right?
Yeah. So what
she's how many?
3 months after she gave birth.
So yeah. So this she's 8 months pregnant. So that's a 90-day window.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that.
Well, she is from the South.
Let me. Isn't there like a bit of a healing process?
I bet the stitches were out.
Oh well, one way or the other.
Well, she's gained about 40 pounds during her pregnancy. She plans to hit the gym.
40 pounds!
And she's going to diet soon.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Did you talk about the melted Hershey bars yesterday?
It's in the story.
Okay.
How much does a baby weigh, typically? What is the average weight?
8 or 9 pounds.
Like 9 pounds? Where are the other 31 pounds coming from? I mean, I understand that there's whatever, there's the fluid or whatever, the amniotic, whatever.
I think we're about ready to find out, Rick.
Tim, where do these other 31 pounds come from?
I don't know.
Well, let's read further, shall we?
Crunching ice and chocolate. Oh, my God, she says. I'll get up in the middle of the night and I'll get a Hershey's bar. The real big ones, I'll put it into the microwave and melt it and eat it. It sounds disgusting, but it's so satisfying.
Yeah, sexy. I think we've all passed a point with Britney Spears where we can never find her sexually arousing ever.
I can't believe she's younger
again.
Than me. I thought we were the same age.
How old is she?
24.
God damn. Life over. Life over, 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 and totally has gotten away from her handlers long enough that she's just managed to ruin her public image. Jesus. All right. There you go. There's your Britney watch for Friday.
Britney, before you go, there's something I want you to have.
You know, he's going to be valedictorian of his graduating class.
Oh, it's completely true. this email says, loser in an MFing emergency waiting room. F, says this email. I know I sound like a loser, but I had to take my mom to the hospital. And then we got there, and she wasn't even that sick. God damn it, I missed the snakes. I missed lamb-basting Huckleberry. Oh, this is from Siegfried. God damn, he signs it. There is no God. Signed Siegfried. There you go. Fantastic. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll have Jim Roop at the bottom of the hour and another visit to the Ministry of Truth. Let's now welcome, in no particular order, Clyde Lewis, the original hairy, scary guy and host of Ground Zero Lounge at Dante's. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right.
All right.
I'm trying to find the hole here.
There we go. Got it.
Okay. Somebody is still a little drunk?
I'm always on drugs. I admit it now.
Okay.
He came clean in the hallway.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, fantastic.
I have to be drugged.
Let's also welcome now to the...
you have Aaron Sounder.
To the Rick Emerson Show. Let's see, where the hell did I... And...
Hold me. Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
No! I have ruined... ruined Revenge of the Sith, by the way, for everyone, because you can no longer, that moment in the theater, I remember we were all watching the movie together when she's, hold me like you did by the lake of Naboo, and it's like you could just feel bits of your soul dying, because it was so badly written and acted.
Between the groans in the theater.
Totally, yeah. So, Aaron and Clyde, snakes on a plane.
Oh, man, I'm
Aaron's
still...
my favorite drunkie in the world.
I'm her favorite
and
drunkie.
And a whore.
I thought I was a... No.
You're the whore.
You're the slut.
Rick's the slut?
No, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm the drunkard.
I'm still recovering from last night. My voice is shot. My hearing's gone.
When we left,
my liver's demolished.
I woke up with a hangover this morning, so.
No. The best part is in the hallway, Clyde was saying it like he had no idea how it happened. Like saying, it's like when you say...
I don't remember anything except how funny that
is. And it's like waking up in bed with an octopus. It's just like, I woke up with this hangover.
I've done that before.
As though someone held you down while you were asleep and injected your body with all kinds of alcohol, and you were completely, you played no part in it
whatsoever.
You couldn't
be any worse off than Aaron, though, covered in snakes, like sitting there drinking his tall boy with no shame. In the middle of
the
theater, yelling things.
You should have seen us outside of the theater. We were like, we had snakes in our mouths, and we're like growling at people walking out of the theater. It was pretty funny.
You want me to reach down and grab their snake?
Yeah, exactly.
Reach in and get it.
Oh yeah, from blouses. There were snakes in blouses, and we were reaching for them. Aaron and I were just reaching for snakes in a blouse. It was pretty funny.
All right. You are drunk.
Not a drunk.
What kind of drugs are you on today?
Actually, I just got back from the dentist, so I'm doing pretty good.
Oh, that's good. They give you that. Now, you go to do what kind of work were you getting done?
Well, I was getting a crown done. Whoa. And
Crown Royal?
My doctor's name is Dr. Hands. That's his name.
Dr. Hands?
Dr. Hands. That's his name.
Dr. Hand is usually a guy you see being let out of a building somewhere. And inside, there's just like a bunch of little jumpers and a knife.
I'd rather have a dentist named Dr. Hands than a urologist
don't
named
make me
Dr.
Visit
Hands.
Dr. Just put it that way.
Or a proctologist named Dr. Hands.
Hello there, Clyde.
Yeah, my urologist is German, by the way. We want to do something right now. Bend over.
Time to siphon it.
Dr. Hands.
Dr. Hands.
God damn. Oh, you could tell, by the way, what kind of a night it was last night.
Yeah, it was a great night.
So, we left snakes on a plane last night, which is, and as much as it was as much, it's not over, but I mean, as much as we have had our moment,
mm-hmm.
I realized this morning I was at my desk listening, and in the office they have Couple, which is our sister station. Very fine, our very fine sister station, the biggest hits, the biggest stars. And but it's a country station, a very sort of, they're very mainstream. This program has a bit of a selective following.
Sure.
Couple is very much a broad appeal, mass appeal radio station, and this morning they were talking about it, and you gotta figure, Snakes on an MFing Plane is probably not a movie that you would think of as appealing to the Carrie Underwood audience, but man, I'm sitting at my desk today, and I'm thinking, well, that's it, we've kinda had our moment, it's peaked, we're gonna recap it, it's sort of like a listener party, we've been there, we've done the thing, and then we're gonna move on, and for them, for the rest of the country, it's just now ramping up. Like, tonight is the actual, I didn't realize this until this morning. That Portland was actually only one of a handful of cities that had it last night. I thought it opened everywhere last night, and
no.
It didn't.
No, it was Portland, Austin, New York, L.A., and like Chicago, and maybe Seattle.
Yeah!
And something else I want to say, too. If there's anybody attending the movie tonight, and they say to you, shh, look over at them and say, snakes on a plane, man. Snakes on a plane. Because, you know, there were some people that wanted to have the cinematic experience. They wanted to be quiet.
Who was there last night?
Oh, there was some woman that was going, shooting you the film. I was listening to her. I felt like Beltner one right there. Just shut up. And this is a fun film. We can yell at the screen if we want to.
Uba Shabayat.
Okay. We're going to take a little break here and come back. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop is in Los Angeles. More from the City Desk. Clyde Lewis and Aaron Duran. We are talking about snakes on a plane. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Aaron Duran. I'm a done now. Hello. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Give me that hairy eyeball. What are you glaring at me for? I'm over here.
I am constantly stuck in a room full of geeks, minus Tim. And you guys all just gang up on me.
That's figuratively, that's a verbal ganging.
See, even then.
Ow. Are you kidding me? Throwing stuff at me. This is the best moment, by the way, as we're standing outside the Snakes on a Plane, Snakes on a Plane screening. I do feel like it's the day after a listener party, where it's like everything's a little fuzzy and my faculties aren't quite functional. Do you remember the time we had, that listener party and the next day, you were playing the snicky, snacky, wacky, cracky sound, and it was the funniest thing we'd ever heard, and it was like we were high. Mm-hmm. It was the day after, it was the day after one of our, I don't remember which one, after like maybe Cinco de Drinco or something, and you kept playing that Richard Quest, snicky, snacky, wacky, cracky, and then we would just dissolve into giggles. Today is like that day. Well, we should talk real quickly. We got Jim Roop coming up, Tim Riley with the Ministry of Truth, and then we're here with Clyde Lewis and Aaron Geek in the City Duran. We should talk real quickly, to his undying shame and horror, probably about, Robert. You remember that, young man, Robert?
Yes, yes.
Robert, that's all, I don't even know what to say about that guy. Sarah, you be my guide here as we go along. You let me know when I've gone too far.
Okay.
No, I'm not gonna mention that. I didn't even see that.
Okay.
I don't know nothing about that.
Okay.
If you've gone to many of our listener parties, there's a woman you may or may not remember, a woman short in stature, large of bosom, her name is Maria. She's a very attractive, older woman. I would guess what, 40s, would you say? Early 40s?
Yeah, I'd say that.
Very attractive, very spicy. She's a woman, she's a fiery woman with a fierce passion for life. And she's a very, very, very well-proportioned woman, a very, very well-endowed, attractive older woman. And she is notable because, and we had her on the show to talk about this at one point, she is notable to us for having come to a listener, because, you know, we have this whole thing where if you come, when we do a listener party, if you come as a school, if you're a woman, you come dressed as a schoolgirl, you get a little something. You get a little something for the bag of crap. She came to one of our listener parties dressed as a schoolgirl, and I said, that's a very small and very tight schoolgirl outfit, 40-something Maria. Where did you get that? And it turned out that it was actually her daughter's. She had like a 12-year-old daughter, and she dressed in her 12 or 13-year-old daughter's schoolgirl outfit. And this is, again, a 40-year-old woman. She came to the party in her daughter's schoolgirl outfit. And it was all like hot, but disturbing, but great, but creepy, but mostly hot. And anyway, and so then her son comes last night to the Snakes on a Plane screening, and he is 19. His name is Robert. Seemed like a great guy, pretty normal, but it's so awkward to talk to a guy who you know because you know his mom, who typically comes to all your events in a tiny schoolgirl outfit. And it's just all very, very weird and whatnot. But so we got to give him a shout out and, Connor, Mark, there was a guy named Wilson that we met last night. There's a whole bunch of guys. So everybody who came last night, God love you. God love you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming last night. Let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the Ministry of Truth. Tim Riley reporting. Now back to Snakes on the Plane. In this scene, FBI agent Neville Flynn, played by Samuel L. Jackson, becomes frustrated by the situation that they're in.
All right, now before I play this, can I say something embarrassing?
Please do.
I don't know, that guy that we interviewed, Nathan Phillips, I don't know who he played in the movie.
What, like his character's name?
Who was he in the movie last night?
He was the guy, he was the open mouth guy.
Oh, I thought he was Australian.
No, he...
Oh, is he doing that acting thing? All right, well, that was pretty convincing, because Sarah had the best comment about this guy, which is he looked the way that Sean Astin should have turned out. He looked... instead of lumpy and sad, he sort of... like, if you go back and look at Sean Astin in The Goonies, you're like, he's going to grow up into a good-looking man. No. But like, in a parallel world where Sean Astin did not turn into a big potato sack, this is the guy. He's Nathan Phillips. Well, that's pretty good then, because I didn't even spot it. That accent, his American accent is pretty compelling. Mm-hmm. But goddamn does he look stupid through most of that film, just sitting there trying to catch flies in his mouth. All right, so this is Sam Jackson, what, expressing something?
I don't know, I just threw the story in the trash. I have a tiny space here, and I like to keep it neat and tidy. If you miss it the first time around, well.
Fantastic.
Let's get right to it.
That's what sets our news apart, Dan.
All right, it's a title that I saw that made me go, I'd go see that. I'd stay in the movies all day watching that. And apparently, a lot of people in the world thought that, because there's no other explanation for the phenomenon aside from the title takes you visibly there.
That's a great scene.
Was that labeled as a scene from the film?
It was, yes.
All right.
Let's do another one.
Well, now let's talk to President Bush, shall we? And hopefully this turns out a little better. He thinks those who think wiretapping terrorists is unconstitutional don't understand that America is at war.
All right.
Those who herald this decision simply do not understand the nature of the world in which we live. This country of ours is at war. Mm-hmm. And we must give those whose responsibility is to protect the United States the tools necessary to protect this country in a time of war.
All right. Wait, I'm looking here in the Metro source. There are other snakes on a plane cuts.
I'm sure there are.
They're labeled Snakes Jackson. Should mm-hmm. I play them randomly?
Yep.
Sure, it's up
that
to you.
That was the first big firestorm.
Nope.
I'm just seeing what they are.
I would kind of sneak online and blog in and go, that's the title of the movie. You got to do something. You know, snakes on a plane. So people were, yeah. So that kept going. And then people started making their own posters, and then people started doing their own trailers, and then all of a sudden it was like songs, and it just grew and grew and grew.
Well, that was a good scene.
All right. This is an actual clip from the film. Yes. I have not pre-screened this. So let's see what happens, shall we?
Enough is enough! I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane!
Yeah!
Woo! Like that.
That's for the kids.
Okay. Yes. There you go. Let's hear that one more time, shall we? That's. Mm-hmm. I think we've got our end of show clip there.
Is enough! I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane!
Yeah!
Best thing I've never heard such action since Gone with the Wind.
Okay. All right, well, let's do one more and then we'll go to the show group here.
This comes to us from Umatilla, Florida.
That was me. That was all me.
Stop, you are so pathetic.
It's all me.
The Jeb Bush state is shutting down a high security facility for teenage girls. They're closing down the Umatilla Academy for Girls following multiple reports of mistreatment and neglect. They found an employee dragged one inmate down the hallway by her ankles, and workers failed to send another girl to the hospital after she swallowed 2-inch nails. Next news, what had happened?
Fantastic. Let's welcome down to the Rick Emerson Show. Radio correspondent Jim Roop. Hello, Jim.
Hey, if any level of prisoner, and I'm their guard, swallows 2-inch nails, I'll say, you're going to bleed to death.
I don't care.
That's a stupid thing to do now. Eat your pudding.
This whole show doesn't make any sense. And Sarah just called me a whore. Okay. Let's see. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Rick.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you,
sir. Let me tell you, I'm a little loopy because I was up all night watching MFing snakes on an MFing plane.
How is that?
It's terrible, but it's so great. It is, let me just tell you this, and this is the thing we're telling everybody all day today. If you have the choice between seeing it tonight by yourself and seeing it later with some friends, you gotta wait. You gotta see it either with friends or with a packed theater, and everybody's gotta have been drinking. Everybody has to have hit several bars on the way there or smuggled in large amounts of absinthe.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they did this in L.A., there'd be riots everywhere. They can't do that here like they do here.
I'm just saying.
Jim Root probably doesn't know that people actually drink beer in theaters here.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
No, we play fast and loose with the rules up here.
You're kidding.
No.
No, I mean, well, we're not supposed to drink beer in the theaters, but I mean, we do.
Many do.
Oh, well, no, that is true. No, there are many theaters up here that do sell alcohol. That is true. Do you not have that in Los Angeles?
No.
There is one theater, the Arclight in Hollywood, that has a bar, but you have to finish the drink before you go in.
Oh, no, that would never fly here. No, during the day, they cannot let the caffeine out of their hand, and during the night, they cannot let the alcohol out of their sight.
No, well, that makes sense. It counteracts each other.
Yeah.
They burned down Koreatown there. I think they did that once before a few years ago.
Black Rage!
I can say that because I now live here.
No, that's an Ice Cube reference there. good God almighty.
I like Tim.
Who doesn't?
Are you accepting applications?
Yeah, seriously. Is CNN looking for a new correspondent? God. Snakes on a Plane is a terrible film. It's badly written, poorly directed, the acting is wooden, the editing is choppy, the production budget is somewhere between $5 and $10. But I have to tell you this. Last night, and I think this is across the board here, last night was a terrible film, but one of the best theatrical experiences I have ever had.
Well, very good.
It was, I don't think I've ever, I mean, let's canvas the room here. Has anybody, whether you're here or by yourself, had a theater experience like last night?
No.
I can't think of another time I've been at a movie and had as much fun as I did at Snakes on a Plane last night. But you got to do it like now. Here's the thing, you either got to see it this weekend with a great wild crowd, or you got to wait and see it in like 5 years or 10 years. You know, when it's like they release the Snakes on a Plane X or whatever.
I used to have to clean up the theater after the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, that's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Now that I brought the room down.
You know, toast leaves streaks if you don't get rid of it right away. Anyway, so, Jim, I don't even know what we're doing here today. I guess the only thing is we've talked about Snakes on a Plane, and have they had you at LAX today? Is that the thing? Have you been out there kind of holding?
That was yesterday. Today it was at the new Joint Regional Intelligence Center, where Michael Chertoff took a little tour of the joint.
Well, and this is the thing. Is it true that they're taking away certain kinds of brassieres? We heard that they were taking away, like if you have a brassiere that has like those little gel, you know, whatever,
yeah,
like a boosting Wonder Bra thing?
Yeah, that you have to put them in your... But how are they going to check that?
Well, that's my question, is how do they know if you're wearing a gel bra or not? Now, Sarah, I'm not implying that you wear these, but, I mean, you're a woman. How do you...
There really isn't a way to tell.
Maybe they'll hire women from Hooters to check on the way in.
And I really don't see any woman volunteering that she's wearing a gel-padded bra.
Seriously,
well, Sarah, do women keep bras in their purse as backups or something, like they do a pair of nylons or something?
Sarah?
No.
No? Well, then why would that even be an issue?
Maybe if they're trying to, maybe if they brought like an extra change of clothes and they're bringing it onto the plane.
No, but I got the feeling if you were wearing a gel bra that they were going to make you take it off because
well, there's
of the
no way they could tell.
What about an Islamic woman wearing a burqa? How would you know?
A gel burqa.
Yeah.
Your head is so large and shapely. I just wonder, like, if you don't.
It's the same thing, you know, if you're gelling while you're waiting in line for the plane.
Oh, no. Why would you do that?
That's true.
Now, I just wonder if you can't tell, and the theory is, of course, you can't bring any liquids on a plane that are not medicinal in nature.
Right.
So it is going to... Here's the thing, is that I love this kind of stuff because I love anything that screws up the system. And I'm going to admit to that right now. I love anything that screws up the cogs of the system.
Well, you know what would be great? Chertoff says they have a device that can detect explosives in water or in liquid. But he says it can only be used one bottle at a time. So can you imagine the backlog?
Oh, it's fantastic.
You have to leave the airport a week early.
Anything that makes this country just makes things run badly and just causes societal breakdown and discord, I'm in favor of that.
He said anything that's slow or inconvenient doesn't work.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, good times.
Traveling is so much fun these days.
It really is. I'm just going to buy myself a unicycle. So this is not going to get better anytime soon.
No.
They're never going to go backward with this.
This is going to be, it's going to take a long time until they get a device that can distinguish between bottled water and explosives. Until they get that device, they're not going to change anything anytime soon.
All right. Well, Jim Roop, I want you to have a good weekend, and I'd like to leave you with this thought.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these mother snakes on this mother plane!
All right, there you go. Thank you, Jim Roop.
Thank you.
You enjoy your weekend, sir. All right. Hi, Sarah. How you doing?
You're such a knob.
Hey, guess who? Thank you. Guess who's on the phone?
Who?
It's that Maria woman.
Ooh.
Oh.
So we'll...
Why don't we go to break and then take her off to the break?
Listen to you teasing. Listen to you increasing...
I just want to play Band-Aid.
Increasing our time spent listening. All right, we'll be back over there. 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Coming up in mere moments, Band-Aid with Sarah Dillon. Like us at 306, Donna Mike at 7. Don't you go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show.
Listen up, you. It's time to make your miserable life slightly more interesting. This is Band-Aid with Sarah Dillon.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Busy weekend. Let's get started. At Dante's Friday night, Blackheart White Noise is playing along with Barcelona. There is a cover for that show at the Doug Fir Friday night. Don Caballero is playing with Zombie and Get Hustle starting at 9. $12 for that show. 21 and over at Duff's Garage. Go check out the Oblivion Seekers and the Texecutioners. That's at 1635 7th Avenue. The Hawthorne Theater is hosting Debaser, Bad Neighbors, Living Proof, and Gray Matters. That's at the corner of 39th and Hawthorne. And at Holocene, Comets and Fire are playing with 16 Bitch Pile Up. I just wanted to say that name. $8 for that show, and that is 21 and over. Saturday night at Cibala's Mount Tabor, go check out the Del Toros for the Roller Derby After Bout Party. That's always a good time. A lot of roller derby girls skating around. Lots of good music and a lot of alcohol, I'm sure. Ash Street Saloon Saturday night. Leadface, Monkey Fur, Crack City Rockers. Afrobody's Pan Saturday night. The Secretions, Ashtray, the Giddy Ups, and the Anxieties are playing. And at Dante Saturday, Stovacore. Doug Fir is hosting Silver Mount Zion on Saturday night at the Devil's Point. Dirty Lowdowns and Las Vegas are playing. That's all I've got for you. Have a great weekend. If you see me out and about, be sure to buy me a vodka soda, extra lime.
That's just becoming a whole lot of that, tell me your sins. The bishop guy. Oh, yes, this is a game I've never played before.
Oh, beautiful.
Say slowly.
I hope the rest of you is just as robust.
God, you're crazy.
My, what a lovely tea party.
Hello. It's the Rick Emerson radio program, ladies and gentlemen.
This isn't Lars?
Not tonight, Bishop.
Not tonight, Bishop.
You do that very well.
Yeah, Bishop should go. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm shifting the movies on you.
Ripley! Oh, hey, wait, is it last night again already?
Yeah,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, man, Bishop should go!
She's alive! They don't kill you, she's alive!
Put her in charge! All right.
We're screwed.
You know, that's a contest that we could actually do at some point where we just have to do a nonstop. That's a great idea for a contest because I can never contest.
Nonstop lines.
Well, but you pick a movie. You pick a movie like Aliens, and then you just have to go back and forth, and the first one to freeze.
Do you got to stick with Aliens or
can
you shift
other movies? Game over, man. Game over. What? To shift movies?
Can you shift movies? Yeah.
No. It has to be a particular. I think it would have to be a particular movie or franchise.
So you can stick with the whole Alien franchise then, right?
Yeah, like you could, like I could say,
quotable.
Like I could say Die Hard, you know, and like, and you could go to Die Hard 2 or you could go to whatever, but you have to just go back and forth with lines from the movie, and is anyway, the first one to freeze up just, you know, is loses their
credit. That's a fun little geek.
That'd be cool.
All right, there you go.
Okay, we'll do that one.
Okay. 503-733-2970 here with Aaron Duran from geekinthecity.com. Also, Clyde Lewis, ClydeLewis.com. We'll talk about, Transformers in a second.
Sorry.
Did you just really make the transforming sound?
Yes, I did.
All right, do it again.
Oh, God.
Transform and roll out.
Megatron must be stopped.
Megatron!
No matter the cost. I have a girlfriend.
I get laid all the time.
She's waiting for me to home right now. In Canada.
She lives in Canada.
My Russian bride's on the way.
Clyde?
Is there Mrs. Clyde?
There is no Mrs. Janik.
Oh, thank you, Bert. That's exactly what I'm talking about. There is not Mrs. Janik. Maria. Oh, this is Maria, mother of Robert, who was at the theater last night. This is Maria, the again, very attractive, an older woman who you are. Now, and I hope you don't take offense when I say older woman, but I wanted to clarify why it was so awkward for, I believe, your son, in that you are known to us largely as an attractive woman who wore a tiny schoolgirl outfit to one of our parties.
I've worn a tiny schoolgirl outfit to two of your parties.
Yes. Yes,
but
you have.
What I was calling about, did I hear right? Did you put me at 40?
And
now does that stem from the fact that I have a 19-year-old friend?
I guess I was, I never know.
No, it's not your age. I just
swerved in traffic. I did not hear something.
Well, look,
go
I just don't understand children. If they're older children, I just assume that the, you know.
That's what I'm saying. And plus, let me be honest.
Some of us were hot way back when.
Did you have, is this like an underage birthing that you had, or?
Yeah, so that makes me even cooler because I can relate to Robert.
And because
it was not so long ago that I was Robert's age.
Wow. Okay, here's the thing. Let me back up now and clarify a few things, because I can hear all the women getting ready to kill me. Here's the deal. Men with age are like men with weight and men with breast size. Men never know what anything is. Men, that's why if your husband ever buys you lingerie, if you ever get a boyfriend that goes to, men should never try to buy you anything like that as a present, because men will either get you something way too small, or men will get you something way too big, because men have no idea. You know what? You could put two women in front of me, tell me that one weighs whatever and one weighs, and I wouldn't even know. Men, and it's the same way with age. Men are terrible at that, which is why I should just know to keep my mouth shut. But I don't know what 40 looks like, or 30 or 50 or whatever. It just varies from person to person. So I apologize. I think we were basing that, and Sarah and I are child-free. We were basing that on the fact that your kid is almost 20. So there you go.
18 next week.
All right. Well, there you go. So I was just, and, you know, so I had all kinds of sympathy for him in any way, because it's got to be awkward when you're talking to another dude, and, you know, in this case, me being the other dude, and the other dude just knows you because he leers at your mom's bosoms a lot. So it's got to be all kinds
of
strange.
Robert's kind of used to it.
It's even awkward when he pimps his mom out for a poster in the theater.
Seriously.
He's like, I'll give you a poster. I'll get my mom to flash it at the next party.
Did he say that?
He has a poster,
okay,
too.
Okay, you got to follow through on your half number.
Pay up, Maria.
Yeah. We'll be here till 3:06. All right. And so forth. Okay.
All right, Rick.
Thank you, Maria.
Well, thank you.
All right, there you go. Snakes in a Plane, Limerick? No, she went away.
I think Sarah's fallen asleep.
Let's see. You need more Viso. Jim,
I'm scared of it.
You're on the break. Jim, what's up, brother?
Rick. Hey, you know, I had no intention of going to this movie just because it was not my type of movie.
Uh-huh.
And then I've been listening to your show on and off today, and the comments of, you know, drunk texting, or, you know, the, you know, squealing like a Japanese schoolgirl, and I'm just like, what?
Anything that involves Japanese schoolgirls, you are there.
Thing.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, it's...
Enough is enough! I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane!
But here's the thing, Jim. You got to round up a big posse of friends.
And just get blotto. Oh, can you imagine this at, like, the Mission Theater? They'll never show this.
It is going to be one of those things that's like the Laurelhurst will have this for a year. I mean, it'll run there forever.
I can't wait until it's like the bag.
Oh, yeah, much like the Aladdin, you know, the 12 years of... Oh, gosh, what was that deep throat that they had there?
Yeah, no, it's and Rocky Horror and all of that, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, brother,
hey,
thank
God
you.
God bless you.
Yeah, what?
I said, God bless you, man.
Okay, thank you, sir. Jim, yeah, let us know what you think of it, brother. All right, there you go. That's Jim. Let's see, and so forth. All right, Aaron Duran, geekinthecity.com. So we saw the trailer, not last night, but I saw the trailer when I went to see... God, what the hell did I go to
it
see?
Was it Clerks 2 that we saw the Transformers season?
And Transformers and inexplicably Devil Wears Prada, which I think they were targeting that towards the guys in the audience that were there to watch.
Well, last night was the Texas Chainsaw Massacre prequel.
Boy, that looked such ass. It looked like ass.
Arlie Ermey, though.
No, I
felt good.
I'm not giving Michael Bay another dollar.
Except for Transformers?
I don't know, man. It looks...
Oh, you're gonna go.
It looks terrible.
You're gonna go. You're gonna transform and roll out.
Does it make me a nerd that I identify with a particular Transformer?
Who's your Transformer?
Starscream.
So you're just a conniving, heist,
backstabbing weasel
who gets disintegrated by Galvatron eventually?
Yes. Sarah, which Transformer do you identify with?
My first Transformer was the little green tank with the red top.
You had a Transformer?
Yeah, I remember. It was one of my... I got it when I was in Spain, so I was like 4 or 5.
I always pictured you as a GoBot girl.
No, I have a Transformer. I have one that was a rock. I actually still have it. It's in my dresser drawer in my house.
That's not a Transformer.
Are you sure this is a Transformer?
Well,
not like
a Transformer. This one's a rock that turns into a person.
That was a GoBot offshoot.
Nerd. No, but remember...
But I had the little green tank, and you put your thumb on the... the sticker, and it changes colors.
Oh, and it turns into a Decepticon logo?
Because you couldn't pick, like, who they're going to be.
Well, now, they had Transformers for girls, and they were those little locket makeup things. It was like a little locket.
No, girl one.
No, but I'm saying they did make an equivalent toy for girls, and it was like a big pink locket you wore, and, you know, it just looked like a locket with a placer picture inside, but then you could open it, and it turned into a little tiny miniature, like, Barbie play with a little tiny doll. It was a little tiny dollhouse with a little tiny doll.
That's a Polly Pocket.
But you... is.
Did it make a sound when it transformed?
Metamorpho!
Sorry. What the hell was that? Okay.
Booba Shibaya.
Okay. But yeah, anyway, they announced the characters today. So.
All right, so who are the characters in the Transformers film, Aaron Duran?
Trying to think.
Anybody come to mind?
Optimus Prime.
I mean, is Megatron in this?
Megatron's in it. Starscream is in it. No Soundwave, which really bums me out.
Oh, that's too bad. Soundwave was cool because he had the cassette that turned into a dog.
Rumble, Ravage, yeah, he could.
Yeah. Do they ever explain, by the way, how it is that Megatron is all huge, yet when he turns into a gun, he's small enough that Starscream can hold him in his hand?
We've had this conversation before.
Was that drunk?
No, okay. I was probably. Because when they were created by the Quintessons, they were given something that allows them to spatially change things.
Let me ask you this.
Which is why Shockwave, the one big gun on Cybertron, when he transforms, is a full-size cannon still. Because he's not, he hasn't been infused by Quintessons.
Sarah, have you been infused by Quintessons? Viso. I'm going to start saying that Viso is infused with Quintessons. As of Monday. Okay, everyone...
Energon. It's Energon.
Everyone listening now knows that this is just crap that I'm making up. I'm going to start saying that Viso has Quintessons. I'm going to start saying that Monday. It's going to be like Retson inserts.
It's infused.
It's infused with Quintessons and midichlorians. Dinobots. Thumbs up, thumbs down. In general.
I like the Dinobots.
You don't feel they're a marketing scam?
No.
All right.
Well, because I liked the toys before I saw them in the cartoon, though.
All right, so you don't... because you don't feel...
Yeah, there's a difference. Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
All right, Constructicons.
Those are a scam, but I love them.
Okay. Okay. Let us...
Devastator. That's a good band name.
Welcome to the Rick Emerson Show.
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Mailman Chris, official stenographer of the Rick Emerson Show. How are you, sir?
At Botsticons, you can get an avatar that will change your picture.
Oh, and we're all with women. That's the really sad part. Without chloroform, where would we be in this life?
I don't know.
All right,
know.
Mailman Chris, is it true that I got to everything today?
Everything and more. Everything and more.
Everything and more.
You got them, the Paul McCartney one-legged, et cetera, et cetera. The Britney Watts, the Special for the Children, Lisa Goddard, Ed McCarthy, Scott Daly, Aaron, and the rest of the show as SOAMFT. But you also got Clyde Lewis, and you pimped Jim Roop. So.
That's what I'm talking about. So there you go.
But you pimped 8 and got to 8, so does that mean we take off 4?
It does mean it means we take off the 1 for the thing I got to, and then 3 more. So we take off 4 now.
Wait, the 1 for the thing
what?
You... What? No, it's 3.
Isn't it? I thought it was 4.
No makeup rules. It's
okay,
3.
Okay, hold on, Sarah. Is it 3 straight across, or is it half again what he...
No, it's just 3 straight across.
Okay, well, if it's 3 straight across, then it's then you're at 42.
Oh, 42.
Drink more Quintesson.
Me. Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
No! Sarah's looking at the clock, just wanting to go home more than anything on Earth.
I want
to
die.
Sarah wants to go play House of the Dead 4
somewhere. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She was
zombie girl.
All right, thank you, Chris.
We're playing some video games.
Have a good weekend, guys.
Thank
Talk
you,
to
sir.
You Monday.
All right, there you go, mailman Chris.
Sarah knows how to handle a gun.
Yeah, she's really good with a Uzi.
She's good with a gun. She's got that Uzi thing going really well.
And she can
shake
it.
Play video
Sarah
games.
Is not oozing, by the way, for anybody who's just tuned in and heard that she has the Uzi thing going on. That's a gun that Clyde is referring to.
And she can shake it.
And she can shake that Uzi.
I've never played with a gun you have to shake.
Ooh, shake that Uzi. Are you sure? Oh, okay, we got
it. 20 more seconds.
Counting down the time. Tick,
Black
tick,
Mambo.
Tick. Shaking
Uba Shabaya. ClydeLewis.com is the website, and GeekInTheCity.com for all your geek needs and so forth. All right. Thank you so much for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. Make a note because you need a Monday at noon. We want to thank Clyde Lewis, Aaron Duran, Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, Ed McCarthy, Rick Emerson Show produced it every day by the lovely and somewhat fed up with all this shenanigans. Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio News Director Tim Riley, manager of the Rick Emerson office. East Dave Zinn, Timnasium tomorrow at 4 p.m. And as always, we thank you for listening. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Have a good weekend. Be safe. We'll see y'all on Monday. Bye.
Sarah, this is Samuel L. Jackson.